Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, September 12th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. If you want to talk about going into the belly of the beast, that's what we did yesterday when Wing TV went to Ground Zero. It was, without a doubt, the most intense situation I've ever been involved in, and it is just incredible. We're going to fill you in on what happened.
We were interviewed by media from all over the world, not just New York media, and we didn't expect anything to actually get published, but it's amazing that the Village Voice, among others, has now published an article with us in it.
Right. Here's a picture. You can't see it well on the screen, but there's Lisa Giuliani and Michael Langston holding up our 14-foot banner. It says 9/11 World Trade Center, controlled demolition, and we were right in the center of everything. Thousands and thousands of people saw this banner as probably the most photographed banner in the country, at least yesterday. I mean, people shooting film of it, pictures, incredible.
And I think it was the first time that a banner of this type about the controlled demolition was actually allowed to remain at Ground Zero since 9/11/2001.
This is history in the making, and it shows that activism works. We're going to tell you all of the other media venues that interviewed us yesterday, and hopefully if they follow suit with the Village Voice, this is going to be everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the rundown. We're going to try to go chronologically and just give you a rundown of what happened. When we got there, it was a little bit after 10 o'clock in the morning, the morning of September 11th, 2005.
Already lots of people there.
Lots of people. And as soon as we walked through these like pillars to get to this overlooking Ground Zero, already people coming up, hey, Wing TV. We didn't even have our banner up yet.
Yeah.
They already knew where we were from. And
we did arrive in the middle of the ceremony, the official ceremony, so they were reading out the names of the victims.
Right. Along with Lisa and myself, there was Michael Langston, who came out from Arkansas, Patriot Jim Cujual, who came up from Tampa. We also met a lot of other people. Greg Szymanski was there covering this event for
William
the American
Rodriguez.
Free Press. Yeah, William Rodriguez, Nico Haupt was there, a guy named Jolly Roger.
Vinny Sammartino and his wife, Diane.
And I'll tell you, Vinny's one of the best researchers out there, and they passed out tons and tons of flyers. There's also Dylan Avery, who made the film Loose Change, and we also talked to a guy who wrote the film, or was one of the contributors to the film, Enemy of the State, with Will Smith. And what he does, he says, is go to these different events and get ideas for his TV shows and his movies.
Right.
So maybe you'll see this in a movie someday.
We spoke with filmmakers, Vietnam veterans, victim families. We spoke with everybody. There were so many people there, and I'll tell you, overall, I think it was very receptive. The people were very receptive to what we had to say, mostly.
Right. Now, when we walked in there, we unrolled our banner. And this is 14 feet long. It's a chore to even carry this thing. Well, while we were doing that, Patriot Jim walked into the overlook and came back like 2 minutes later, fuming already.
Yep.
And he had a big wooden stick there. And he said that the cops came up, grabbed his sign, tore it up, and threw the stick away. So his sign, at least that sign, was already done for the day. Then they told us that the only way, see, we had wooden planks in ours too, just to hold this thing up. They said the only thing we were allowed to have was cardboard tubes.
Right, you're not allowed to have wooden stakes, so we had to get rid of our wood and just keep our sign, which we did.
Yeah, luckily somebody there had a blade. Now, you know, people walking around with blades, those aren't considered
weapons. Yeah, that's okay, right? A blade is okay, but a 2x4 isn't.
So we sliced the wood out, got rid of that. And so we held the sign up, and immediately
a crowd came near.
And this is how it was
all
for
day.
About 3.5 hours, and we'll tell you how it all ended there. But while Lisa was out in front talking, I was passing out flyers. Jim was passing out flyers. Plus, people brought videos.
Right.
And we're passing them out. So we figure we gave out nearly 1,000 flyers that day, over 500 videos, and William Rodriguez gave away tons and tons of them, too.
We got rid of all of the DVDs that we had to pass out and almost all of the flyers. And I'll tell you what, we were surrounded constantly by a semicircle of onlookers and listeners and victim families knee-deep.
Yeah, and there were pros and cons. So Elisa was out there talking. There's also a guy named Kerry Zach Mongu. I hope that's how you pronounce his name. And he was out there for at least an hour.
Yeah, there were some 9/11truth.org people with a banner that said the Bush regime engineered 9/11. And so they were doing their work in the crowd with the controlled demolition info and other information about the New World Order, too.
Yeah, so we figured there was about 25 people or so that were there wanting to expose the 9/11 truth in various factions,
mm-hmm.
Passing
right.
out videos and flyers and holding up signs and so forth. Then we met William Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the photo gallery, if you look at the photo gallery at the end of the show, you'll see him standing in front of our banner. He has a white shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
And these are a couple quotes from here. He said that he's on a mission. He says he doesn't care what kind of things they do to him. His apartment recently got broken into.
Yeah.
Things got stolen, his hard drive, his camera, and so forth. He said he lost 200 friends that day, and he's here to get the truth out.
You know what? We're on a mission, too. And I'll tell you what, William Rodriguez is a warm, affectionate, caring person. He's amazing, and we're so proud that we got to meet him.
Yeah.
We gave him big hugs, and he's going to be on Wing TV soon.
Yeah, and he stood out there. He was interviewed all day long,
mm-hmm.
just getting the word out. Then we met a guy named Paul Isaac Jr.
Uh-huh.
And he's in this, because when he came up to us, he's an auxiliary fireman. He was in his full wardrobe. And he came up and he introduced himself and said, Paul Isaac Jr. And I knew the name, and I said, oh, you're in the book. He's on page 128.
Right. In fact, Nico Haupt wrote an article about him a year and a half or 2 years ago.
Right.
He's the guy who said the firemen are all under the gag order.
Right. And also, he was one of the firemen that made it up into the South Tower, and he said that there were bombs in the buildings. So he came up to us and was talking, and he was already a little bit edgy
mm-hmm.
that we were there with this sign, because this sign, it was so intense. I can't, like Lisa said, from the very second we walked in,
it was a magnet
to Ground Zero. It was not only a magnet, but there was this sense of danger.
There was an undercurrent of danger that was very palpable from the second we walked in there.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire time.
Yeah, and all of our hearts were just pounding all day because this was raw. This was real. There was nothing scripted or staged. We had no idea what was going to take place.
Right.
So anyway, we were showing Paul Isaac this book, and he said, and this is a quote, he said, I know 9/11 was an inside job.
And then he pointed to the police standing around. And he said, they know it too.
Right.
But we have to be very careful.
Yeah, and he pointed to the firemen. And he said, they know it's an inside job.
This is what he said to us out loud in front of other people.
Exactly. And then he says, all these people, they know who did it.
Right.
And he also said, they know who's behind this tragedy
mm-hmm.
down in New Orleans.
That's right.
Now he's coming up with some heavy duty. This is a New York City auxiliary fireman admitting
mm-hmm.
that the policemen and the firemen in New York City know that it's an inside job.
Right.
Then he said that he's spoken out many times about this. He said he's even been jailed.
Uh-huh.
Then he started to take a turn. It was very, very bizarre. And he started warning us that if you guys stay here, something bad's going to happen.
Right.
He said
he was making veiled threats from that point on
and
telling us how we shouldn't be there, we're disrespecting the dead. And we went back and forth a bit, and I told him
it was more than back and forth.
Well, he got more and more persistent that we shouldn't be there. And I said, sir, I understand what you're saying, but I'm not leaving.
Yeah. Then he started saying, last year a guy got his head bashed in when he
mm-hmm.
left here. He said the firemen came in, they ripped up some guy's sign.
With a knife.
And he says, what you have here is you have a potential riot on your hands. He says, this is very visceral. This is the rawest of emotions.
I'll tell you what. Out of all the people there, Paul Isaac Jr. is the only one who tried to incite a riot.
Yeah.
He tried very hard to incite one.
And not only with us, but also with other people there. He was making his rounds, and it got more and more heated as the day went along.
He was trying to get the crowd to bat. He was playing to the crowd,
trying
to say we were disrespecting people. And we insisted, this is where the truth needs to be. Of all places in America, it needs to be at Ground Zero the most.
He was taking such desperate measures that at one point he even brought up Fenton Dunn's website, Breaking News.
Can you believe this?
And he said, oh, if you look on that site, you'll see all of these groups.
I said, the only one who's not on Fenton Dunn's CIA info list is Fenton Dunn himself.
Right. And he said, well, all of these groups out here today are CIA disinformation.
He was trying to convince the crowd of that.
Yeah. Well, we were the only formal group there, except for a few 9/11 truth groups.
Right.
But then he said, well, why don't we make this democratic? Well, let's see. Let's see a raise of hands and see how many people want them to leave. Well, the crowd wasn't buying it because the crowd's perceptive. Now, don't get me wrong. There were people coming up to us all day long in our faces. And excuse my language, but they'd say, get the fuck out of here.
Calling me a scumbag.
Scumbags.
One guy called me a communist.
Yeah. Losers. And just coming up. And it was intense. There was points where there was one lady screaming so loud they had to drag her off. She was crying. Yeah. Just like, get out of here. Then there was a woman named Butterfly. There was this one guy yelling at Lisa, just screaming at him. And she came up and she was like, let her speak. Let her speak. And it was just like this all day long. It was just vibing
with
energy.
What this Paul Isaac Jr. was saying a lot of was, if this was your mother's funeral, would you want people coming in there and saying she had been murdered? I said, you know what? If it was my mother's funeral, if my mother was dead, and somebody came into my mother's funeral and said my mother had been murdered, I would want to hear what they had to say. I would listen to what they had to say. And there were many people in the crowd nodding in agreement, coming up to us and thanking us for being there, shaking our hands, grabbing the DVDs and the flyers.
That's right.
And most people were receptive. I said, you may be mourning, but you can still think.
That's right. And as I said, this was history in the making. Just think. Finally, it's all out there for everyone to see. 9/11, controlled demolition. And one last thing on Paul Isaac. It got to the point where he said, well, you just wait now until the steel workers get in here. You just wait until the bikers get in here.
He was trying to intimidate us by making veiled threats that there was going to be violence against us if we continued to stay. So, of course, we had to stay longer because we weren't going to let him in his big mouth run us off.
Yeah. But at one point, I commented that there was this throng of people around us and there was a wall behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like we were rats trapped up against this wall because there were so many people around us, pro and con.
The cops had to literally stand right in front of us and pace back and forth
just
to keep
to
the area clear,
yeah,
to keep people from coming too close to us because you never know which one wants to pop you in the head or something like that.
And we're going to get to what finally transpired. But before that, there was one guy. He was an elderly gentleman, and he knew all about what happened. He knew it was a controlled demolition. And he was one of the survivors and it also helped in the cleanup. And he came up to me and he finally said, after we talked for a little while, he says, you want to know what 9/11 is? He pulls a bottle of pills out of his pocket and he opens a cap and he says, you see all these? And he holds them. He says, I got to take these pills every single day. He says, this is what 9/11 is. He says, all that toxic dust got in my lungs. And he says, you don't know how many thousands of people have to take these pills. He said, they're covering all up. But it was very toxic up there that day. And he said, this is what it's all about. This is the reality of a controlled demolition.
Yeah. There were some people who were very resistant to the information, told us we were crazy, we should leave America. But most people, and not just at Ground Zero, but in New York, when we talked to people about it, in the diners we ate at and on the street, were very receptive to what we had to say. And I said, you know what? It seems like the people of New York are more receptive than people in other locations around the country. It's amazing.
Yeah. Finally, this was about 1:30 in the afternoon. So we'd been there almost 3.5 hours with this sign. And as I said, just thousands and thousands of people. I mean, just, it never ended.
Right.
People snapping pictures of this sign. So finally, there's this guy comes up on a bicycle.
Yeah.
And he just races right through the middle of our sign.
Twice.
Well, the first time, he didn't rip through it. And he was ranting and raving. He called Michael Langston. He called him a communist, I think. And so then he was milling around. He was behind us.
Now, mind you, the cops are standing right there the whole time.
And then finally, he comes back up again and flies through our sign again. But this time, he gets off his bike and he's ripping and tearing with our hands. And literally, destroyed this sign.
Yeah.
Now,
he demolished our controlled demolition sign. How ironic is that?
Yeah. Now, nothing happened to this guy, but we are going to give credit where credit's due to the New York City Police Department. If they wouldn't have been there, and I'm not exaggerating, we probably wouldn't have got out of there alive. I mean, that's how intense it was. And with this Paul Isaac and there are other people there, that you could tell they were ready to incite the mob.
There were some people we think were sent there
to
just
exactly.
cause the riot. And I think it's because so many people, the word is getting out. As Vinny Sammartino just said to me today, they're losing the battle.
Yeah.
And they know they're losing the battle. And the more people listen to you, the more desperate they become to get people to stop listening to you, and they take drastic measures. And the police didn't do anything to this bicyclist.
Yeah.
And I went up to him, I said, aren't you going to arrest him? And they ignored me, and the officer that was closest to him was an officer Rodasto.
Yeah.
And he should have arrested the guy because the guy destroyed our property.
Well, at that point, I'm sure they figured this has become so heated that they just better let the situation
go. But it wasn't the crowd that was becoming heated, and it wasn't us.
It was just a couple inciters.
Right, and that's all it takes.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to say something now to everyone out there that's so enveloped by this supposed police state.
Right.
Think about this. Would we have been able to go in China, in North Korea, in Russia, or in any of these other communist nations, held up a sign that says 9/11 World Trade Center controlled demolition, and have the police stand there within inches and feet of us? If we would have went in there popping off like Alex Jones with all his policeman hatred, we would have got killed that day. We don't live in a police state, and it's proof of that.
Right.
We had freedom of speech out there.
The whole time we were out there, I got to say everything.
That's right.
Everything about the controlled demolition, and I said it loudly to a large number of people the whole entire time. The police didn't tell us we had to stop. The police didn't make us leave. The police let us stay with our banner. No.
Nothing.
We weren't threatened by the police. Some of the policemen called us names, but the police that were standing guarding us and keeping the area clear were very cool with us.
That's right.
And somebody asked me, Victor, why are you being so nice to the police? I said, because I don't dislike the police.
Right.
I don't have any problem with the
police.
They
were protecting us.
And they were being cool with us, and there was no reason to have any animosity toward them. I consider them heroes, too. The New York finest.
It would be nice if they spoke out and told the truth.
Right.
But I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
If you're believing this stuff, that we live in a police state, what Alex Jones and his fear-monger type are doing is they're deliberately making you afraid, so you sit in your house like a little rat and don't move.
We've
proved it.
Oklahoma City, no police state. We've been to Washington, D.C. in front of the White House and Secret Service, no police state. We've been in front of a building where George Bush was speaking, no police state. We've been to New York City, ground zero, no police state.
If you buy into this stuff and you're sitting there huddled in your house like a little pussy, then Alex Jones is doing exactly what he's trying to do.
You know where the police state is? In Alex Jones' mind.
Right, and he wants to put it in your mind.
Right.
And we prove that we can go out there and we are making a difference. We're out there right in the front of the Village Voice. Now, quickly, we have to get through this. Here's the media that covered us that day. The Village Voice, the BBC.
The Metro.
The New York Metro. An Italian magazine. Polish TV. Dutch TV. Japanese
NYU
TV.
NYU reporters.
Right. All over.
New York University. I mean, and ones that we don't even know. Different student ones from India and from all over the world. Media was there covering us. Some of them, I don't even know who they were.
Yeah. Now, tomorrow, we're going to touch a little bit upon the 9/11 Truth Rally. And I'll tell you what. There was such a lost potential there.
Yes.
And all we're going to say real briefly now is, what a difference between what they did
and what we did.
Their rally was preaching to the choir.
Again.
They went out in front of the New York Times and Fox News and NBC and so forth. As the Village Voice said, no response whatsoever, just as we said.
Right.
Their rally was contrived. It was controlled.
It was a simulation of something that should have been real.
It was tame. And when they finally converged at this little park, this square.
Nearly empty park.
Yeah, near the UN. There was 200 people in that park. All 200 of them were the ones in this rally. They stood there with all their signs facing each other. That's all they did, was they talked to themselves. So finally, when they have their bullhorn and Nicholas Levis is up there, I finally went up to the front row and I yelled to Nicholas. I says, you know what? This is a good gathering here, But what a missed opportunity. That's the first person to say it was Nico Hauff. He said, what a missed opportunity.
A wasted opportunity.
A wasted opportunity. I says, all of these people should have been at ground zero. Just think if there would have been 200 people plus all of us.
And I talked to Les Jamison. He's a member of 911truth.org. And I said, when are you people going to start working with us? We could be an overpowering force. Yeah. Look what we were able to accomplish at ground zero with just a few of us there and a few of our viewers passing out flyers and DVDs. We could have taken that place completely over.
If we would have had 200 people plus the 25, it would have been so overwhelming, and it probably would have been possibly the greatest activist event of the last decade, right at ground zero.
I have to say that Les Jamison is one of the members of 911truth.org that you can actually have a dialogue with. He's a nice guy.
He's
and
gonna
also,
horse his ass.
There was some members of New York 911 Truth that were very, very nice to us and welcomed us and invited us to the different events. All I can say is if they can't get their act together, these people, and start making controlled demolition a major topic of discussion because it is the
and quit preaching to themselves.
The crux issue. Instead of treating it like a peripheral issue or a non-existent issue, and if they don't let their passion for getting the truth out supersede their personal animosity for us.
Well, it's not only that. See, people came up to Lisa from 9/11 Truth, and they said, we don't agree with what the leadership is doing.
Right.
They don't agree with it. Yeah. They want to do something more. But
they're being kind of choked off by people like Kyle Hentz and Janice Matthews.
It's nothing
and
but
Nicholas Levis.
It's nothing but a containment activism. That's what it is. They want to just keep everything in this little ball, and they don't want the word to get out any further. And it's people like David Kubiak, Nicholas Levis, Kyle Hentz. Those are the ones that are destroying the 9/11 Truth movement, and everybody that's in this movement that wants to get away from them starts speaking up and saying, what are we doing in this little park on Sunday afternoon talking to ourselves? We should have been
Nicholas
at ground
Levis
zero.
Nicholas said there was going to be tens of thousands. There weren't going
there
to
were
be tens of thousands.
People.
There weren't.
Yeah.
It was just what we said it would be, and we went just to lend our support for truth and to check out how many people actually showed up and what went on there. But I tell you what, they are losing the battle. We know it. We can feel it. Everybody that was there yesterday could feel it and sense it, and it was obvious. That's why they have to resort to desperate measures to disperse a crowd.
That's right. When we were at ground zero, this was as real as anything I've ever felt.
You know why they do
life.
The rallies they do? Because there's no challenge there.
Right.
They're not having anybody in their face challenging them on their positions or their ideas.
That's
we
right.
had to think on our feet, and we could defend our positions and our arguments.
That's right.
Soundly.
This was real danger. When we went there, there was a guy named Lieutenant Bowman, and he's given this impassioned speech, but then he says, and it became more of an anti-war, anti-Bush thing than about 9/11. And he finally says, we need to get U.S. troops out of Iraq, and we need to put U.N. troops in there. This is the stuff they're pushing. They're pro-U.N.
Yeah.
That's what they're
Hello,
doing.
Hello, the U.N.'s our enemy,
Unbelievable.
Not our friend. All I'm saying is you need to start getting more proactive. We made a big difference there yesterday. We planted so many seeds.
That's right.
Probably more than 911truth.org has planted in all of their rallies, because their rallies are for themselves.
Yeah. We went right where everybody who had any idea about what happened on 9/11, whether they knew the truth or they were in mourning or whatever, that's the place to be. Ground zero. It's not in some empty lot.
Right. Empty parking lot.
8 miles away from ground zero. It's absurd. So anyways, folks, watch Lisa's photo gallery. It's phenomenal. All the pictures
the energy
from yesterday.
Was high. It was white hot. And it was raw. And this is what we need to do. Take it beyond the box, out into the street, because they are losing the battle.
And this isn't the last time we're going to be out in the streets. We'll be back tomorrow. More updates on this. Until then, keep your eyes open. Get off your asses, because there's a lot going on.
See you tomorrow.